fever. It's something we've all experienced, whether it's a mild rise in temperature during a cold or a more intense fever signaling a serious infection. But how often do we stop to consider what our body is trying to tell us? What exactly is happening inside us when that thermometer shows a higher number? Fever isn't just a symptom to be dismissed, it's a crucial signal from our body, alerting us to potential threats and urging us to take action. Understanding the nature of fever, its various forms, and the conditions it might indicate is key to managing our health effectively. Welcome back to Health Square, where we dive deep into the most crucial health topics to keep you informed and healthy. I'm Bills, and today we're exploring a subject that's both common and significant: fever. While many of us have experienced fever at some point, it's important to understand what it really means, how it manifests in different forms, and the conditions it might indicate. Fever isn't just a symptom, it's a signal from our bodies, and understanding it can be key to managing our health effectively. Let's start with a story about my friend, Jake. Jake is a marathon runner, and he's pretty in tune with his body. So, when he started feeling feverish after a race, he wasn't too concerned. But when his fever persisted for several days, and he started experiencing severe joint pain, he knew something was wrong. After a visit to the doctor, Jake was diagnosed with viral arthritis, a condition he had never even heard of before. This story highlights how important it is to pay attention to the specific symptoms that accompany a fever, as they can provide critical clues about what's going on in your body. What is fever? Fever is a temporary increase in your body temperature, often due to an illness. Your body's normal temperature hovers around 98.6 degrees Celsius, that's 37°C, but when you have a fever, this can rise significantly. The physiological process behind fever starts in the hypothalamus, a part of your brain that acts as your body's thermostat. When your immune system detects an invader like bacteria or a virus, the hypothalamus raises the body's temperature to create a less favorable environment for the pathogens. This response helps your body fight off the infection more effectively. Consider the case of President John F. Kennedy, who famously experienced high fevers during his battle with Addison's disease, an adrenal insufficiency that compromised his immune system. Despite his public persona as a vibrant and energetic leader, Kennedy's recurrent fevers were a stark reminder of the ongoing battle his body was waging, underscoring the importance of paying attention to what a fever might signify. Types of fever, understanding the variations. Fever doesn't always present the same way, and recognizing the different types of fever can help in identifying the underlying cause. Continuous fever is when your body temperature remains consistently high over a period of time with very little fluctuation. This type of fever is seen in conditions like typhoid fever, where the temperature remains elevated throughout the day and night. Take Tom, who, after returning from a trip abroad, noticed a persistent fever that didn't subside. Despite resting and drinking fluids, his temperature stayed elevated. When he consulted a doctor, he was diagnosed with typhoid fever, a bacterial infection characterized by a continuous fever pattern. In contrast, intermittent fever is characterized by periods of high fever interspersed with periods of normal temperature. This pattern is often seen in malaria. For instance, Mike, who had traveled to a region where malaria is prevalent, started experiencing cycles of intense chills followed by fever and then normal body temperature. These cycles repeated every 48 to 72 hours, a classic sign of malaria. The intermittent nature of his fever helped his doctor quickly identify the disease and start appropriate treatment. Remittent fever is when the fever fluctuates but does not return to normal temperature. This type of fever is commonly associated with influenza. Emily, for example, experienced a remittent fever when she came down with the flu. Her temperature varied throughout the day, sometimes high, sometimes slightly lower, but it never returned to normal until the illness passed. Relapsing fever is a pattern where episodes of fever are separated by days of normal temperature. This can occur in conditions like borreliosis, also known as tick-borne relapsing fever. Jake, an avid hiker, once experienced relapsing fever after a camping trip in an area known for ticks. His fever would subside for a few days only to return with similar intensity. This relapsing pattern eventually led his doctor to diagnose the tick-borne illness. diseases associated with fever, recognizing the symptoms. Now that we've discussed the types of fever, it's important to understand the various diseases that can cause fever, each with its own set of symptoms and implications. Influenza flu often begins suddenly with a high fever, chills, body aches, and fatigue. Unlike the common cold, which develops slowly, the flu hits hard and fast. I remember my friend Rachel, who thought she just had a bad cold until she woke up one morning with a high fever and could barely get out of bed. The fever, combined with her other symptoms, made it clear she had the flu. Rest, fluids, and over-the-counter medications, like acetaminophen, helped her manage the symptoms, but the flu itself took a week to fully subside. Pneumonia is another serious condition associated with fever. It's an infection that inflames the air sacs in the lungs and can be caused by bacteria, viruses, or fungi. Fever in pneumonia is often high and is usually accompanied by a productive cough, chest pain, and difficulty breathing. Carol, a retired teacher, developed pneumonia after what she thought was a simple cold. Her fever kept climbing, and when she began to struggle with breathing, she knew it was something more serious. Her doctor confirmed pneumonia after an X-ray, and she was prescribed antibiotics. The high fever, in her case, was a signal that her body was fighting a significant infection. Dengue fever, particularly common in tropical regions, is transmitted by mosquitoes and is often called breakbone fever because of the severe pain it causes in the joints and muscles. Maria, who lives in an area where dengue is endemic, started experiencing a high fever, intense headache, and severe pain in her bones and joints. A few days into her illness, she noticed a rash on her legs. These symptoms pointed directly to dengue fever. Although there's no specific antiviral treatment for dengue, managing the fever and staying hydrated are critical steps to avoid severe complications. Malaria, as mentioned earlier, is a mosquito-borne disease common in tropical and subtropical regions. The hallmark of malaria is its cyclical fever pattern, periods of fever followed by chills and then normal temperature. Mike's experience with malaria, where he had these cycles every other day, is a textbook example of how malaria presents itself. The disease requires prompt treatment with anti-malarial drugs to prevent severe illness or death. Typhoid fever, caused by Salmonella typhi, presents with a gradually increasing fever that can peak very high, along with abdominal pain, weakness, and sometimes a rash of flat, rose-colored spots. Tom's slow-rising fever after his travels was a classic sign of typhoid, which was confirmed through blood tests. His treatment required a course of antibiotics to clear the infection and bring his fever down. Another serious condition associated with high fever is meningitis. This infection involves the inflammation of the membranes surrounding the brain and spinal cord and can be caused by bacteria, viruses, or fungi. The symptoms include a high fever, severe headache, stiff neck, and sensitivity to light. Carol, who suddenly developed a high fever and a stiff neck, sought medical attention immediately. She was diagnosed with bacterial meningitis, which is a medical emergency. Prompt treatment with antibiotics was crucial to her recovery, and her fever was a key indicator that something was seriously wrong. Managing fever, medications, dosages, and care. Managing a fever involves both treating the underlying cause and alleviating the symptoms. Common medications used to manage fever include acetaminophen, also known as Tylenol, which works by acting on the hypothalamus to lower the body's set point for temperature. When Emily developed a high fever due to the flu, she used acetaminophen to help bring her temperature down and ease her discomfort. The typical dose for adults is 500 to 1,000 milligrams every 4 to 6 hours, with a maximum of 4,000 milligrams per day. For children, the dose is based on weight, generally 10 to 15 milligrams per kilogram every 4 to 6 hours, with a maximum of 5 doses in 24 hours. Ibuprofen is another common fever reducer that also has anti-inflammatory properties. It's often used when fever is accompanied by pain or inflammation, such as in cases of viral arthritis or muscle aches. Jake, who experienced severe joint pain with his fever, found relief with ibuprofen. The typical adult dose is 200 to 400 milligrams every 4 to 6 hours, with a maximum of 1,200 milligrams per day for over-the-counter use. For children, the dosage is typically 5 to 10 milligrams per kilogram every 6 to 8 hours, with a maximum of 4 doses in 24 hours. While aspirin is effective for reducing fever and relieving pain, it's not recommended for children due to the risk of Reye's syndrome, a rare but serious condition. Adults can use aspirin for fever reduction, with a typical dose being 325 to 650 milligrams every 4 to 6 hours. However, it should be used with caution in people with a history of stomach ulcers or bleeding disorders. In cases of diseases like malaria, anti-malarial drugs are essential. Mike's treatment involved an artemisinin-based combination therapy, AIE, which is highly effective against malaria. The specific dosage depends on the drug combination and the patient's weight, but prompt treatment is critical to prevent severe complications. For bacterial infections like pneumonia or typhoid fever, antibiotics are necessary to treat the underlying cause of the fever. For pneumonia, common antibiotics include amoxicillin or azithromycin, while typhoid fever may be treated with ciprofloxacin or azithromycin. The dosage and duration depend on the specific infection and the patient's overall health. When to seek medical help, knowing the red flags. While many fevers can be managed at home with rest, fluids, and over-the-counter medications, there are times when you should seek medical help. A fever above 103 growth, 39.4 degrees is small in adults, or a fever that lasts more than 3 days, warrants a visit to the doctor. Other red flags include symptoms like severe headache, chest pain, confusion, difficulty breathing, vomiting, or a rash that doesn't fade when pressed. These symptoms could indicate a more serious condition that requires prompt medical attention. For children, especially infants and toddlers, it's crucial to be vigilant. A fever over 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit, 38 infants younger than 3 months, or over 102 degrees Fahrenheit, 38.9 degrees, in children 3 months to 3 years, should prompt a call to the doctor. If the fever is accompanied by a seizure, persistent crying, difficulty waking, or refusal to drink fluids, it's important to seek medical attention immediately. In older adults, fever can be more serious due to the potential for underlying conditions and a weaker immune system. If an elderly person develops a fever, particularly if they have other health issues, it's a good idea to consult a healthcare provider to ensure they receive the appropriate care. Conclusion: understanding and managing fever. Fever is a common symptom, but it's also a critical indicator that something is happening in your body. By understanding the types of fever, recognizing the diseases that can cause it, and knowing how to manage it with the right medications and care, you can better protect your health and the health of those around you. Before we wrap up, I want to remind you of the importance of staying informed and vigilant. Whether it's Tom's experience with typhoid, Mike's battle with malaria, or Carol's encounter with meningitis, these stories show that fever is more than just a rise in temperature. It's a call to action. Understanding what your body is telling you and responding appropriately can make all the difference. Thank you for joining me on Health Square today. I hope this episode has provided you with valuable insights into understanding and managing fever. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, leave a review, and share it with anyone who might benefit. Remember, when it comes to fever, knowledge is your best defense, so stay informed, stay healthy, and until next time, take care.